Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. Thank you for being in the assembly tonight. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to his servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You may be seated. I want to say, before I begin to preach tonight, a lot of things in this scripture that I don't fully understand. But I know that there's a king, and I know that there's a wedding, and I know there's invitations by the servants, and I know that they would not come, and those that would not come were destroyed. That makes pretty good gospel sense. Now, if I'm right, and I think I am, the only one sending out invitations is the king. That rules out the lodges and the so-called Christian societies. God sending out the message by his servants under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Well, you're agreeing so far. I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. And I know about the invitation that God has sent. Now, I know about the Jew and the Gentile here. But I'm spiritualizing mainly tonight because God wants me to. And I had to learn this, that everybody that I preached to was not going to come. I thought surely, since God had called me, and I knew he had, and I felt his Holy Spirit on me, that there'd absolutely be no help for those that sat under my preaching but to come and be saved. What a rude awakening I had when I preached and preached and preached and nobody came. And so tonight I know some things that I didn't know then. It's not my responsibility to get them to come. That's between them and the king. But it's my responsibility to preach to them with all of my being and be as effective as I can bringing the gospel message that Jesus says. I don't even know where the invitation, who it's going to. And don't fuss with me on that. I don't know who God touches and who He don't, but I know that if He don't, they cannot come. And this last, I guess, 6 weeks or 2 months or maybe a little more, God's burdened my heart more than ever for the lost. I believe that's why the whole business of God is still in operation, because of sinners that need to be saved. And I go back to my experience with God, reared up in a liberal modern church, Southern Baptist church. I don't have anything to do with it. But liberal, know nothing about real old-time salvation. We didn't, nor the working of the Holy Ghost. My daddy knew. He'd quit school in the second grade. And he knew more, I realize now, he knew more than 9/10 of the preachers that passed through the church. You don't get it from a book. I mean, besides this book. But it has to come from God Almighty. Ain't you grateful for that? And I appreciate God in dealing with my heart to an old man of God that they brought in by mistake. But it wasn't no mistake. It is God wanting me to hear about the invitation from heaven. And I got under conviction. And I said, I'll not go. I'm backwards. I can't go in front of the church. They wouldn't have expected me to bow and pray and pray. They just thought you went up and talked to the preacher a little and agreed to some facts and you were in. I tried that, but it didn't work. And it never does work. To be born again, to go through conviction and repentance is the hardest thing that I ever done. I've been so-called corrected just within the last year that there's no use in all of that, but I know better. And I remember getting in such a shape. God did convict my heart. And I got in such a shape. And I thought, surely I'm the only one that's ever had to go through this trying to be born again. But I believe tonight, after all these years, I say in about 1951, that every man, woman, boy, or girl that gets born again gets saved out of desperation and goes through repentance and the conviction and faith in Jesus Christ. I believe it's a must. The hardest thing I ever did is to repent and agree with God about my wicked self. I remember I stayed under conviction for probably 2 years or 2.5 maybe. Got in an awful shape. Nobody knew about it. Some thought I was just sick, and I was. But I remember one experience. My daddy had a hog pen with hogs in it. And I thought, if I pray and get desperate with God like I realized then I had to, that mom and daddy will hear me praying and the neighbors will hear me praying and they'll laugh at me. So I remembered that if I got in that old hog house, nice little hog house that nobody could hear me. And so I crawled from where I was praying and climbed in that hog house. Time and time again, I got in the hog house. And you say, first, you didn't have to do that. You don't know what you're talking about. I did. I didn't get saved in the hog house, but I got humble there. And when God saved me, one of the things I remember saying is, no more hog house. Knowing that I was delivered. Thank God I'm saved tonight. not by any righteousness that I did, but the calling of God, the calling of the Holy Ghost for men and women, boys and girls. Preachers, hear me tonight. It's a must. If God don't, I'm so tired of being told that all you've got to do is repeat this prayer after me and you'll be in. It's not so. But God's still calling tonight. And my heart is going out to sinners. And I want to see you saved. And I'm becoming more convinced that in every church service at my church, I'm preaching to church members that are probably lost. And they've been messed with. They've been convinced that they're all right. That they came to an altar and cried a little until they got ease in their physical and decided that that's what salvation was. I want to tell you tonight, that's not what it is. Being born again is a supernatural thing that happens between God and man. Thank God. God supernaturally saved me and made. I didn't have to go to the house and ask Dad and Mom if I was all right. I didn't have to go to the preacher. I knew God had done a work in my heart. Did you know that between at the head of that gully in the pasture field and the house, I realized I was a new creature? Nobody ever told me that's what had happened to me. And for that little distance of probably no more than 500 yards, I turned to get some things I've been doing. What about that? Had the realization in my soul of some things that is wrong and things that is right and some changes God had done in me. And the Bible said they would not come.
That's right.
Whose fault is it that they did not come? Whose fault is it? You can't lay it all on the sinner. There's such a thing as the church. I realize that the gospel has to go out to get the sinner under conviction. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is still going out. And I'll tell you, the church can't save anybody. But we can set the atmosphere for God to work. And I'm afraid in a lot of places, God Almighty is not welcome in a lot of Baptist churches. We've got everything else in the Baptist church. Santa Clauses and the Christmas trees and plays and pantomimes and no God. How in the world will God deal with sinners when we got the devil in the Baptist church? Don't y'all get mad at me. I know it's right. God help us in these days to be a church where the Holy Ghost has the right of way in every service. Living a life that God can deal through the preacher and through every individual and come to the house of God with all of these old things out of your life and out of your mind and come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Woo! I'm glad there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but there's a way that is right unto man. And God Himself will show us what's right by His Word and the preaching of the gospel in the pulpits of our churches today. Amen. They would not come. I'm afraid that when I get to the judgment, I'll find out I was the cause of a lot of sinners not coming to God. Oh, Lord God, it ought to be on the conscience of every church member tonight. I want to tell you folks here tonight, most of you are Baptists. I don't care what you are. Thank God you're here. But I want to tell you tonight, we'll stand at the judgment of God and give an account for our spiritual laziness and our scriptural ignorance. Oh, Lord God, help us to redouble our efforts to live a life of holiness that the power of God... Listen, my church is independent. We call ourselves, but I'm about now ashamed of an outfit where we think that noise is God. That dressing right and living right means the holy. It's not. Thank God for all of those things. But oh, holy living and from the heart will bring the power of God to our day. Bless His name. The Bible said He sent out servants and said the wedding's ready.
Yeah.
I don't ever know who God's working with. I don't ever know. I know what my job is, and that's to carry the message that all things are now ready. I'll tell you, I've seen in the last year the workings of God. I don't make many strong invitations. I realize I can't lead anybody to God. I don't know how. But I think the Holy Ghost knows exactly how. I've never led anybody to the Lord, but I can preach and tell them a story. And the Holy Ghost can go. And I want to tell you something else. The same God that puts in your heart your laws, He'll show you what you need to do to get saved. And you'll disagree with me some of it, but you don't have to read to them. You don't have to scream in their ears. Thank God for folks that will pray around the altar with lost people, and we ought to. God dealing with sinners is the most important thing that ever happened in a church. And when sinners come, every Christian ought to vacate their chairs, their benches, and get on their knees and cry out to God for the power. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And He sent out more servants. And He said, and they treated them. They killed them. I'm not expecting if I stay by the stuff and preach the Word of God for everybody to kiss my feet. I'm expecting the world in general to hate old-time preaching. I know you'd like me better if I told some joke. Those of you that are cold or unsaved, you'd like it better if I joked with you 30 minutes and then give you 10 minutes to preaching. But this is too serious a business for me to joke about it. Somebody probably right in this community will die and go to hell this week. People may be coming to this meeting and die and go to hell maybe this week. It'd be a shame somebody coming out of a cemetery somewhere expecting to hear a gospel message and come in and hear the latest report on the ball game the church played. God help us today in our liberalism and modernism. Hey, if we want to be old-timey, we'll get rid of that junk and preach the Word of God and stick with this old black back 1611 Bible. Let the hammer down on sin. Amen. While it's still time. While it's still time. Sinners. The invitation's going out. You don't have to come.
No, you don't.
I'm glad you don't. God's not having any robots. He's not making anybody come and be saved. You go to hell. It'll not be because God couldn't get you here. Be because you shook your head on God Almighty and said no to the invitation. God help us now. We're coming down, I mean, to the time we've been preaching about. The preacher told me, he went home and told his wife, I am just about ready to quit. The church is a mess. Preachers won't preach. They're running off with somebody else's wife. They're a cussing. Church members won't come to church. And she said, You've been a preaching this is going to happen for 20 years. What's the matter with you? God help us. But there's a King in glory.
Amen.
He's a seeing this day that we live when preachers won't preach except for acceptance among the people.
Amen.
Why not, sinner? Why not tonight? Why not consider God Almighty? You know, if you've been around a real preacher, that sinners are going to hell.
Yeah.
No hope, no hope, no way out but being born again. I've said it a lot of times. I don't know how many sinners I've seen saved. Maybe 500, maybe 1,000. Nowhere's near I ought to have seen. But I've never heard one of them say, I'm sorry I ever tried this Jesus mess. I've seen a lot of them, heard a lot of them say, I'm sorry I didn't get in earlier. Well, tonight, well, the highways and hedges now telling the story. Thank God for an opening for me. Thank God for Him coming to me. He could have bypassed me. I was a nobody. But I'm somebody today, going somewhere to meet someone. Bless His name. Thank you, Lord, for the real God got the gospel in my heart and caused me to tremble. I've seen them drag them to an altar, literally drag them to an altar. Never seen one of them saved. Never did. But oh, when they come and God pulling on them, it makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Amen. Thank God tonight. Now listen to me and I'll be done. I realize this is ragged and you think it's bad doctrine that I've been preaching. But I'm doing what God wants me to do. And one came in and didn't have on a wedding garment. And you know, it looked like nobody there noticed it. That worries me. Have we got such a church society that there don't seem to be any difference in the saved and unsaved? Or that by looking, just watching day by day, that you couldn't make a determination there's something wrong with this fella, this lady? Amen. I believe if you enjoy running half naked a man or a woman all the time and you don't see anything wrong with it, there's something wrong with you.
Yes.
If you think abortion and homosexuality is all right, even when it's in your own family, there's something wrong with you. I believe when God comes into the heart, He makes you despise sin, even if it's in your own life. You'll sin after you get saved, but you'll hate yourself for it. I'm glad I know that. But Jesus came in, He can tell the difference. Thank God. What are you doing in here? No wedding garment on. Among the righteous trying to act like them and be one of them. I want to tell you tonight, if your name's on the church book and you're playing games, if you want to go where I'm going, you better get born again.
That's true.
I want to ask you something tonight, sinner friend, and you know who you are. You're willing to play this thing on to the end like you are, face God. You may come to church and nobody know any difference, but the King knows.
Amen.
And He'll put you where you belong. Well, why not tonight?
Why not tonight? Come, for all things are now ready. I'm not going to give you an invitation. But if God was to strike you tonight, prick your heart and say, come, you ought to get in this altar and ask God. Camp meeting or no camp meeting, and nobody would be happier to see you than this church right here and its pastor. Amen. How is it with you tonight, friend? Do you refuse to come? Church members, tonight I want to ask you this. Where do you go to church? I don't know how many churches represented here tonight. Maybe as many as 30. Is there an atmosphere in your church that'd be friendly to sinners coming to an old-time mourner's bench and praying for an hour or 2 hours? Would you try to help God and go show people how you can get them in on a moment's notice? Or would you be willing just to let God do the business that only Him can do? I appreciate you tonight. I appreciate you letting me preach. I'm done. Brother Joe.